reaching into your community. The Great Southern Sounds of Melbourne, 88.3 Southern FM.
Well, it has now gone 7 o'clock, and that means it's going to be time for the space show. Well, this evening we're going to dispense with our usual theme and instead use some music composed for the Rosetta mission.
Delta 426, requesting deactivate satellite Rosetta hibernation sequence.
Very.
Delta 426, requesting to interrupt hibernation sequence. Tablet 426, requesting to remove and lift satellite sleep sequence. Tablet 426, request to wake satellite Rosetta. Requesting to wake up satellite. Requesting to wake satellite.
Well, things are getting very exciting aboard the Rosetta spacecraft, and we'll hear more about that later. Well, welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie.
And I'm Peter Aylward. And on this evening's Space Show, we're going to, as Andrew mentioned, take a look at Rosetta, which is now orbiting only 10 kilometres from the centre of the comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko.
Local news and views and the greatest variety of music, this is Southern FM 88.3.
We have been following the Rosetta mission for, well, close to 15 years now. It's taken 10 years to get there. And when it was in the depths of space, way out past the orbit of Mars, it was too cold for Rosetta to keep its avionics alive, so they put it to sleep. The problem was in January this year when they wanted to wake it up, is it neared the sun again, would it wake up? And so they had a competition to make songs and poems and things to wake up Rosetta. And here is Tasman Archer's contribution.
Rosetta, now it's time to rise. It's your time to shine and come back to life. So wake up, sleeping satellite. Wake up, Rosetta.
The Rosetta Mission 2 comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko is named after the Rosetta Stone that allowed modern scholars to decipher the ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. In keeping with this, mission scientists at the European Space Agency have agreed to adopt an Egyptian naming scheme for many of the features on the comet's surface. For example, a large 45-metre diameter rock discovered on the lower side of the comet's larger lobe has been named Cheops. It and a cluster of neighbouring rocks reminded scientists of the famous pyramids of Giza. The Great Pyramid of Giza was built around 2550 BC as a tomb for the pharaoh Cheops. Scientists analysing the images of the boulder field are not sure what their mineral composition is. They are darker than the dusty plains on which they lie. Nor is it known how they were created, or whether they are stable features of the comet. Over the coming year, image analysts will be studying Rosetta's images to see whether the boulders are moved or otherwise changed by the comet's outgassing. Now, Rosetta has been commanded to orbit only 10 kilometres from the comet, giving the spacecraft's cameras a very close view of the surface features. The spacecraft is now taking approximately 66 hours for each orbit, as measured in inertial space. Because the comet spins on its axis every 12 hours, this means Rosetta appears to orbit the nucleus about once every 12 hours, as viewed from the comet's surface. The new orbit will allow a number of Rosetta science instruments to collect dust and measure the composition of gases close to the nucleus. Rosetta will stay in the 10-kilometre orbit until October the 28th. On that date, the craft's path will be altered to an elliptical one at approximately 30 kilometres from the comet's centre. This will allow Rosetta to be in position to eject the Philae lander onto a trajectory that will take it down to the landing site. That landing is planned for November 13, Australian time. Another orbital change will take place about 2 hours before separation, while the craft are 22.5 kilometres from the comet's centre. At separation, both Philae and Rosetta will be hurtling toward the comet. Shortly after Philae is deployed, Rosetta will make a pull-up manoeuvre to avoid impacting the comet. This manoeuvre will also allow Rosetta to remain in line-of-sight radio contact with Philae all of the way through its descent. During Philae's 7-hour descent, there will be some acceleration due to the comet's weak gravity. Combined with the initial velocity, Philae will arrive at the surface at about 1 metre per second. Now, given that Philae has a mass of about 100 kilograms, the impact will be equivalent to an AFL footballer walking into a wall. As Philae hits the surface, the impulse will drive ice screws into Philae's, that are in Philae's 3 feet, into the comet, anchoring it. The Rosetta Science team recently summarized their findings about comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko. The comet has two lobes, joined by a highly eroded neck. The smaller lobe measures 2.5 by 2.5 by 2 kilometres. The larger lobe measures 4.1 by 3.2 by 1.3 kilometres. The rotation period of the comet is 12.4 hours. The volume of the comet is 25 cubic kilometres. The density is 0.4 grams per cubic centimetre. That compares to water, which is 1 gram per cubic centimetre. The water vapour leaving the comet rose from 300 millilitres per second in June to about 5 litres per second in August. This increased activity reflects the decreasing distance of the comet from the sun. Now, whilst the surface temperature ranges between 205 and 230 Kelvin, the subsurface temperatures vary from 160 Kelvin to as low as 30 Kelvin. Now, for comparison, a nice warm day here in Melbourne is around about 300 Kelvin, that's 27 Celsius. So far, the gases detected in the coma of the comet include water, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, ammonia, methane and methanol. The coma already extends at least 19,000 kilometres from the nucleus and will grow as the comet approaches the warming sun. Well, just a reminder that comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko is on an elliptical 6.5-year orbit that takes it beyond Jupiter at its furthest point and between the orbits of Earth and Mars at its closest point to the sun. Now, Rosetta will accompany the comet for a year as it passes through this closest point, or perihelion. Well, now, we began the show with Philae and Rosetta heading towards their comet. And let's just take another listen to Tasman Archer here.
Rosetta, now it's time to rise. It's your time to shine and come back to life. So wake up, sleeping satellite. Wake up, Rosetta.
So what has Rosetta been doing in the last few months? Fred Jansen, the mission manager for Rosetta at the European Space Agency, spoke at a function at the headquarters of the European Space Agency and brought us up to date what it's been doing in the past few months.
Okay, I'd like to give you a quick introduction of what we've been doing with Rosetta over the last basically 9 months, and what we have done in terms of getting to know the comet, because that has been an important element. First, we had the hibernation exit, which was a very daring enterprise. It was necessary because the spacecraft had to travel through a piece of space where there just wasn't enough power in case of trouble to get out, and that was a unique success that was never done, and it was actually an operational first for Rosetta. After that, we've spent a few months, February, March, with spacecraft configuration. We knew that certain changes on the spacecraft had to be made to tune the way we operate some of the systems, and that was done. And after that, we went to instrument recommissioning, which was also an important phase because the instruments, of course, by that time were 10 years old, and we had to see that they all still worked, what had to be changed, etc. Then the science operations planning had started in parallel to these activities in the beginning of the year, and with science operations actually starting in full earnest in May. And in May we also started a large series of maneuvers, some 10 in a row, very significant maneuvers, very big, very long, and this brought us alongside the comet. And what we did after that, effectively, in an decreasing distance to the comet, was to learn to fly in the environment of a comet. This has multiple aspects. One of them is that the comet, we know, is an active body. There is gas flowing out, there is dust flowing out, there is gravity, not a lot, but enough to distort the spacecraft on its path. And we really have to learn how to optimally maneuver, because at the end of the day, when you're at the distance of 10 kilometers, you can't make big mistakes. You really have to be accurate. After that, we did actually a large number of operational observations by the science instrument as input into the planning and the landing site selection process. The landing site selection process is a lengthy process. It runs about 2-3 months, and it has a large number of science observations and an immense effort by the PI teams of the orbiter to generate products in support of that process. And what you will see today is the output of this process, basically, and it's not finished yet, and you will hear later that we are continuing and what we will be doing further along. The science planning process for the next few months is a real challenging one. We have to deal with all the possible choices which can be made, which are a significant number. And I will give you more details at the end on what these decision points are, because there are still quite a few to come. At the end, actually, what we see today is the result of many, many processes, and which have come together to enable the landing site selection, which we can announce today, and in the forthcoming months, the lander delivery. And as we speak, Rosetta already is a very big success. We are flying at 55,000 kilometers an hour, 30 kilometers next to a comet. This is an absolute unique achievement, and lots of science has already come out of the mission. But today, we'd like to tell you about where to land. Thank you.
And that was Fred Jansen, the mission manager for Rosetta. And we've got time just to play a little bit more of the Rosetta music, if I can call it up quickly enough. And this is music specially written for Rosetta.
Back in March 2004, you were launched with a big roar to go out there and explore. On a comet you will land to better understand and examine it firsthand. Wake up, Rosetta, wake up, Rosetta.
Well, this has been the Space Show. I'm Andrew Rennie, and with me tonight has been Peter Arwood, and in a few moments we'll be handing over to Purple Haze, that wonderful program that runs between 8 and 10 here on 88.3 Southern FM.
It's time to collect some data. You were on 10 years in space, on a long-distance orbital race. Now a comet you will embrace. Bring a backup camera just in case. Don't
want to miss this one event. After the trip you underwent, it's the reason you were sent to investigate the comet to its fullest extent. Wake up, Rosetta, wake up, Rosetta. Now is your one and only chance to get a look at Comet Tree of Mob Gerasimenko. That's the name of it, at least that.